This is message M-066, Three Dimensions of the Ark. A word given by Cecil J. Duseel, 30th of June, 1973.
Thank God for bringing us again to the dining table.
We are
feasting, and I sincerely trust that the Word of God will help to make that completion within you of the perfect food. You know, at one meal you might not take in all the vitamins that you need, but man, as you keep on eating, you do pick up sufficient to keep you going. Now tonight I would like for us to go into the three dimensions of the Word in Genesis chapter 6 pertaining to the ark, the three dimensions of the ark. Again, let me put it on the side here for you, those who were not here, the little drawing which shows the Word of God in three dimensions all through your Bible. If a person brings a scripture to you and tell you that it means so and so, then it has three dimensions. And you must check out the three dimensions in the Bible. If they go along together, then the word really means what the person tells you. Praise God. And never discard a word without examination. Proper examination will show you the truth of the word. This is a basic truth. First dimension is a flat plane. The second dimension is the horizontal, the length, right? And then the vertical plane is the third dimension. Now, this first dimension in the word pertaining to the ark in Genesis chapter 6 would be Noah's ark. Noah's ark. The second dimension of the word pertaining to the ark would be Moses' ark. And the third dimension would be the Ark of the Covenant. Ark or Ark of the Covenant. Now, there is something peculiar and wonderful about these three dimensional words that God has given us, is that the third dimension always show forth the perfection of the thing. Then, if there are three dimensions in type, there have got to be three dimensions in manifestation. The type of the thing, and then the thing manifests. I don't know if you get me right there. If the three dimensions in the type, if this is a type, it must be a type of something. Amen. And then the thing comes to pass. Actually in the natural and in the spiritual. So here we have this first dimension of the word ark. Let us read this ark in Genesis chapter 6 and how God told Noah to build an ark, the reason for which it was built. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So you can see the earth was already destroyed, and the earth is still here. So the earth was that was destroyed was the worldliness, and not the terra firma outside there, the dirt that we till, the soil. That's not what was destroyed. It was the worldliness and the sinfulness of the world. Okay, verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits.
Last night we had 300. 300 cubits.
The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits.
Breadth
30. Okay. I want you to notice those figures. The length, the breadth, the height. 300, 50, and 30. Okay. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, and thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And everything of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be made male and female. I want you to notice here that God said that everything of the earth should die. And yet Noah and his family lived. That showed they were not of the earth. You see, God was destroying all worldliness, all sinfulness, and preserving righteousness. And there's a key to that. Somebody asked, why did God do that? There's a key to it. And of every living thing, yes, verse 20, of fowls of their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Praise God. Now, I want to tell you something here. The tabernacle, this is the ark. I'm just by comparison showing you something here. The tabernacle was 300 cubits long, 50 cubits broad, and it was 30 cubits. And the tabernacle itself, the building itself, was 30 cubits wide. Well, broad, 30. So these figures were again used in the building of the other tabernacle. I wanted to show you again, 300 was the number of Gideon's men who defeated the enemies, and 300 men defeated 30,000. And this was a miracle of God. But Gideon's 300 was a symbol of the end time people and of the third ark. Now, I don't want you to clutter your mind with that right now, because I'm coming to that. Amen? All right. So I know you're going to attack me, so I'm coming to that. But I'm just showing you the similarity with your whole Bible. Your whole Bible is one book written by several different people, but it's one person who wrote it. And that's the proof that God wrote the Bible, for none of these other fellows could have known the other fellow was writing. Amen. And so here we are. We're going to go into the details of this ark by drawing it. Not good at drawing, but good enough. Amen. Here we are. Three stories the ark was built on, and there were boards going like this.
to make it. And this bottom story here was the type of God the Father. The second story was a type of God the Son. The third story was a type of God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, where would you enter in through to get into God? Where would we human beings enter into God? The Son, right? The door. And so the second story had the door in it. Amen. So that's why that story is God the Son. Now, God the Holy Ghost is our window that looks up into heaven. No, brother. Jerry, you know you don't build any windows looking upstairs. I mean, they're open upstairs. Of course, in the trailer, we got a window open upstairs. You see, so it's like the ark. But you don't normally build a window to open up. People have windows they want to see outside. Well, this window, they couldn't see anything outside. God didn't want Noah to see what was going on outside. God just closed Noah's eye and let him look up to heaven. So our window to look up to heaven is the Holy Ghost. This window was in the top of the building. No windows, no nothing around. And only looking up into heaven. That's the only look he had, an upward look. Amen. Now, so therefore, there is a distinctive feature also on the bottom story, and that was the seal, the pitch and tar. Now, without that pitch and tar, that boat would sink. It couldn't float. Without the pitch and tar, you wouldn't have any ark. Because you know, when a man is sealing his boat, he's got to seal it at a special time, as we mentioned last night. And the sealing of the living God of his people, as any time God starts sealing his people, you know that this is it. It means that we're going to float. If you seal too long before the occasion occurs where the water would come, the seal would crack off and the boat would, the sealing would be no good. So although Noah was preaching for 120 years, God never told him seal the boat until just before the water came, the boat was sealed. So this ark, then, this is the seal of the living God. The pitch and tar is the seal of the living God. But there's something I want to show you about that pitch and tar. It came from way down in the bosom of the earth. Amen. It came under great pressure. Tar is something made under great pressure, vegetable matter pressed down there maybe for thousands of years, and then under great pressure it breaks forth and come up, burst forth through some hole or find its way up and comes up, and we use it to cork up things like boat, we use it to make our roads and so on. But this is from the bosom of where? The earth. This shows that the seal that God is going to seal his people with is something that he will plant in men. Come on now. I'm going to prove it. That's why I'm making all these wild statements. Amen. It's something is planting in men. And men are going to bring forth this thing that God has been planting in them, and it's going to seal the other people. I'll tell you something else. Do you remember a man named Brother Enoch? Where is Enoch this evening? Where is he? He's in heaven, right? He never died. Amen. Praise God. So, he is of the generation of Jesus Christ that never died. But how did he attain unto that position? By faith. Amen. It wasn't just God giving him a gift and said, boy, I want you to just take off. Nothing of the kind. He pressed through, and by faith he demanded immortality, and he got it. And I want to show you that there's a lesson here for us to learn, and we have not yet learned that lesson. The seventh trumpet will sound, and God said all the mystery will be over. You remember that passage of scripture? He said, and when the angel sound the seventh trumpet, he will say, the mystery of God shall be finished. So all the mystery that is overlying our gospel, that so far has held us in a position that we want to go and we can't go, this mystery is coming to an end when God gives us the seventh message. That's what trumpet means. Some of you brethren have lived in the realm of the church where your preacher believes it and you believe it, that a big old trumpet is going to blow and people are going to be jerked out of their sleep. I tell you, I was such a dreadful preacher at one time, and I preached this fearful judgment so horribly that people became afraid. And this boy, he was a gambler, and we had pronounced judgment upon all the gamblers. And this fellow was sleeping with his head near the window, and a donkey strayed from some place and came under his window, and he jumped up and dropped on his knees and said, God, have mercy, have mercy. And well, the fright, he really got saved afterward. Yes, sir, he came right up and accepted the Lord with great tears, but his whole nerves were shot. The donkey went under his window, and he thought it was a natural trumpet because the way we preach it, brother. It was a dreadful trumpet that's going to blow, and sinners will just cry and everything like that. So this fellow thought the judgment had come. And I tell you, we preach so dreadfully that sometimes a brother get up out of his sleep, look beside him, don't see his wife, start running over the house, and the first thought that comes to his mind, boy, probably the rapture come and she's gone and leave me. You know, this is the kind of fear that is instilled in people, and deep down in their mind they have a doubt somewhere that one time one of these evangelists, your American evangelists, put out a paper with the rapture and people going up in white robes, streaking off, blasting off into heaven, and cars turning over and planes crashing, and you know, they put out the big headline, so many killed and so on. And this man in Jamaica, he's a preacher and he's got a church, and the morning the mail came with this paper from your evangelist. I can't call the name, but you know who are the evangelists that put out these sort of things. And when the man read the thing, he must have lost his nerves, because he didn't say anything to his wife. He rushed out, hooked up his loudspeaker, ran out into the street and started to proclaim that Jesus has already come, and that those who left might as well just give up right now. And after he had gone for a few hours, he came back home, and his wife said to him, but like she'd say, John, she said, but John, if Jesus come, what you and I doing here? You know? And then he realized, but these fear tactics, you know, are things that really disturb people's balance and give them wrong impression. But here we see God saying that the seal will be coming from the bosom of the earth. The seal to seal humanity. To seal humanity for the last trumpet. And when this trumpet blows, then it will not be a fear, but it will be a revelation. Amen. The trumpet is a message. Amen. I'm going to show you another, when you're dealing with God's word, remember, may God help us this week. If we don't learn anything, we learn the dimensions of God's word to really pinpoint the dimensional word. Blowing of trumpets, seven trumpets. God told Joshua, he said, march round the city. He said, march one time every day. And so he marched 6 days. But he said the seventh day march seven times. Amen. And when you finish the seventh march, blow the trumpet seven times. In other words, the seventh trumpet should blow one time. And so the seven trumpets were blown together, and what happened is that the walls tore down. The angels of God just came in and tore down the wall. But you see, what was to be revealed when the trumpet blew was the deliverance of God to his people. I want you to notice that. Amen. When the seven trumpets blew, the deliverance of God's people was perfected, was revealed. Now, there are many trumpets. And brother, you said you never heard any. If you didn't hear some trumpet, you wouldn't be here. For it is the trumpet of God that brought you here. Yeah. You heard a trumpet, you accepted Jesus as your Savior. That trumpet was blowing long ago, but you just heard it. Amen. You heard another trumpet, you got filled with the Holy Ghost. And God's trumpets have been blowing. This is the seal, the message. The seal had been broken long ago, before we were born, some of these seals. And then the trumpets have been blowing, and they're blowing together. Bah, 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 bah. And when the seventh join them, seventh trumpet will blow, you'll have the perfection of God's message. None of us can boast of that perfection tonight. Amen. If Brother Lazarus had the perfection of God's message, when Jesus Christ blew the trumpet in his ears and said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus would have right through. He wouldn't stop down here. He would have passed through this realm and gone into the higher realm. And Lazarus would have been in perfection, be able to come and go as he liked. The people now who are gone on, they get hitched up there because they haven't got the seventh trumpet which will allow man to live in the flesh immortally. Immortality is the thing that is to be revealed. Amen. In the dispensation of the fullness of time, said God, he will reveal life and immortality through Jesus Christ. You get the idea? So we need a lot. And don't let anybody deceive you that they're high and full of this and that and that. We need. That's our greatest thing. We have needs. All of us have spiritual needs. And blessed be to God Almighty. If I didn't have any spiritual need, you'd know. You know why? You'd be zapped with the power. You would be just knocked with the power and immediately you'd be changed. That's why when God changes certain people, the rest of the people of God are going to be shaken or vibrated and feel it and be changed too. So the pitch and the tar coming from the bosom of the earth, I'm going to leave that there. Amen. going to leave that there because it's going to connect up with the rest of the thing. You see, the whole thing is connected. Your whole Bible is connected. But we have been blind in the past because our teachers have been blind. God said, if the blind lead the blind, the boat fall into a ditch. And we have been in a ditch and a rut for a long time. Amen. So then, this ark had the full message of God in it. And it had the animals. But those animals were changed. They were changed animals. None of those animals turned around and ate one another. Amen. The cats were there and the rats were there. And the cats didn't eat the rats. Amen. They all seemed to have eaten grass. Lion was there and the lion never got hunger for a piece of meat and knocked down a lamb and eat him. There were seven lambs there. And the lion never ate one. And all those animals were changed. Their natures were changed. They walked together into the ark. Oh, what a sight. Man must have been real stupid. You stand up out there and see animals start walking together, walking, coming into the ark, and you stand up there. Man, I would join the crowd. Amen. I would join the crowd. But you see, these people were so skeptical that when they saw this, they weren't even activated to do something. But I believe something began to touch their hearts. And as one brother said, somebody must have been outside forming the fool and plops a blob of water drop on his forehead. And when he did something, another drop took him on his nose and he started getting serious. Mm-hmm. Amen. And praise be to God, I think they all rushed the ark. But the ark was in a valley. And I believe the water started coming up in the valley first. So instead of going towards it, they were backing off. Everybody running for the hills. But praise be to God, we find that the basic principle of the ark was a vessel of salvation and deliverance. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to note that. Because talking about the rapture, brethren, the waters that came on the earth lifted the ark. How far did it lift it? To heaven? To the top of Mount Ararat. I want you to notice that. That it lifted it to the highest point on earth. Amen. This is where God's going to rapture you to. Not to blast you out of this world, but you're going to be lifted in this world to the highest point. Why? Spiritually speaking, brethren, we don't want to go to Mars or the moon or the sun. What we want is to be lifted up in the spirit. And if I am changed, as the Bible tells me that I will be changed to an immortal being, fire wouldn't make anything to me, brother. The Hebrew boys were in the fire, but they weren't burnt. So what we need is not to leave this earth so that God can burn up the earth. What we need is to be lifted in the spirit to a higher realm where fire won't touch us. You can tackle me on that point. You take a note of it. And you tackle me on that point and I give you scriptures to prove it. And so we see that what did all this was the sealing, the seal of the living God. When the pressure hit the seal, brother, instead of going through it, it lifts the ark. Glory to God in the high. Hallelujah. I want you to notice that. Okay. Now, the door is the entrance in. The Son of God is the door. Jesus Christ is the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. It means, brother and sister, that you must enter into Christ. Jesus Christ did not say, I am the gate. Why? because he was thinking of the tabernacle, and the gate of the tabernacle is not the entering into Christ, it is the entering into the family of God. You become a child of God, and God begins to prepare you for becoming a part of his son. Amen. You remember the scripture which said, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Yes. Praise God. That's Luke. What verse is that? Yeah, yes, that's right. John. John 1. Yes. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God didn't say you were the son of God when you believe, but you got the power to become. And that word power was the word exousia. He gave you exousia, meaning authority. God gave you authority to become the sons of God. But if you look at chapter 1 in Acts, you will see around verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That word power in verse 8 is dunamin. And that word dunamin means, like you said, dynamite. Different kind of power. You see, I give you authority, brother, to go into the dynamite house and to get dynamite. I give you power to get power. And that's what the Bible is saying. One power is just the authority, the right. The next power is the thing you got the right to get. Amen. So one is the right to become sons, and one is the power of sons. The dynamite power, the explosive power of God, the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so we see that this Son of God is our entering in. He is the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So there is an ark, and there is a time when the ark is going to save men. Blessed be to God Almighty. Then the third one is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is your look up to heaven. You can't see heaven unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit. You are not spiritual, you are spirit, soul, and body. And if you don't get the Holy Ghost in your spirit, you have no contact with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. And we see what Jesus said about Noah's Ark. Verse 37, but as in the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Brethren, where is the one going to be taken to? In our churches, we were told, remember, I was a minister out there, so what I'm telling you is what we used to preach out there. In our churches, we were told that we were going to be taken away in the rapture, and the one that was left was the one that was in trouble. Amen. But that's not what the scripture says. This scripture said that the word taken here means arrested. This word is the word paralambano, which means arrested. One shall be arrested and the other left. Now to prove this, I'm going to show it to you in your same Bible. Your Bible is going to tell you that. Turn that Bible around to Luke 17. I hope I'm right. Verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Instead of saying taken, it says here destroyed. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went to Sodom, out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. Now isn't that more beautiful? Instead of saying the coming of the Son of Man, Luke explains what the coming of the Son of Man means. The days in which the Son of Man is revealed. You see what happened? Jesus is here. Jesus is here. What about Jesus that we need is a revelation of Jesus. The sinner outside there don't see him. Amen. And we are not seeing him too clearly ourselves. No, we want to see him. So this one says, revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. So you remember the question the other night about not coming down from the housetop. This was referred to as the flight from Jerusalem. But you notice Jesus now referred back to the coming of the Son of Man. So your Bible is dimensional. Don't take it on the flat plane or else you'll be in trouble. In that day, he which shall be upon the house of verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Verse 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Here again the word, the one shall be arrested, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, arrested, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered. Now the brethren got curious. You notice how often he repeated the word taken, taken. Taken, so somebody got curious and asked him a question. Lord, where? Taken where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the dead body is, thither will the vultures be gathered together. I translated it for you. Wheresoever the dead body is, soma, there will be the eitoi, meaning it's translated the eagles but it is a vulture. Dear will the vultures be gathered together. Has anybody got any other translation? Any other translation here tonight beside the King James? If you're getting afraid of me, you won't bring your other translation. Because I tear them to pieces. You must bring it so that we can see. You got one there, sister? Okay. Matthew, read Matthew for us in that. It's 24. And down where the carcass is, where the dead body is. You know what he was saying? He was saying wherever you see crows going, vultures going, then some dead bodies out there. And he said the place of the dead, that's where they're going to gather. That's what Jesus was telling the brethren. Can you? Yes?
Chapter 24, verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered.
Okay, we got the translation of the word carcass there from Brother Matthew. Okay, instead of body, because these brothers who used to teach me, they translate it to be Jesus' body. And Jesus could not call himself soma, dead body. You see what I mean? He wasn't going to call himself a carcass. See, so let's check it out, sister. It's verse, you want Luke 17, verse 37. What did 37 in Luke 17 say?
Lord, where will they be taken, the sons of
man?
Jesus replied, where the body is, the vultures
do. Lord, where will they be taken, the disciples asked. Jesus replied, where the vultures are, where the body is, there will the vultures be gathered. That's Living Bible. Alrighty. Well, next time I'll bring some of those translations that you can hear them. Now, we see here, therefore, that scripture was referring to destruction. Destruction. We could go further with it. Anybody want some further proof? One further proof if you want it. Okay. Well, the further proof is in John 16, where Jesus Christ was arrested, and the same word paralambana was used for taken, which means arrested. Translated arrested in the garden there, but they translated taken elsewhere. You see, those fellows know what they're doing. Amen. Praise God. They translated arrested in one place and in another place taken, so that you might not find out the meaning of it. Amen. God help them. Amen. Now praise God. We see therefore that this Holy Ghost is looking up into heaven. I think we finish with that ark. We take the second ark. Noah's ark. Let's see if we have really finished. As it was in the time of Noah, so shall it be in our time. The fulfillment of this ark is to be fulfilled in our time. Praise God. When there will also be an ark of salvation, and when some people will be running into the ark for salvation and other people will be playing around out in the flood. But God said he's not going to destroy by flood again, but by fire. So some people are going to be out in the fire while others are protected by God. Amen. This is what he's talking about. Now the second ark was a little basket, Moses' ark. Can you find that for me? That's Moses. No compliment to him, but praise the Lord, that's what the artist can do. And so, Exodus, can you read that for me, sister? Just where his sisters made a little basket for him, what it was made of.
in an ark of bulrushes?
Yes.
That which is slime and which pitch?
What verse is it, sister?
Second chapter, third verse.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And put the child therein, and she laid it in the flag, it says here, by the river's brink.
Yes, praise God. Now, we notice that this ark has some similarity here. It has the pitch and tar. Do you know that that thing made a man a multimillionaire? That verse of scripture made a man a multimillionaire. He read the Bible where the Bible said that Moses, there was slime coming up out of the river, slime and pitch, and that Moses' sister gathered it and made an ark with it, and he took shipping and went down to the Middle East to search out for the spot where the slime and the pitch was, and he found it, and he bought up the place. It was oil. And while some of the richest oil wells are there, he knew, he was a geologist, and he knew that anywhere slime and pitch and papyrus grow, it means that underneath there is oil. So if you see any slime and pitch around, you know you're in for some money. Yeah. And so here again we see the seal of the living God coming up from the bosom of the earth to save humanity. Isn't that wonderful? Brethren, are you seeing what I'm saying? That out of your bosom is going to come forth that which is going to save humanity. That's what God is saying. God is putting something in humanity to rise up and to save humanity. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to prove it. Remember, I say I'm taking you to the scriptures. Now, here we find the three stories, but where are the other two stories? God incorporated it in a man. Hallelujah. Remember, the Son and the Holy Ghost now is in a man. Do you remember a scripture that would bear that out? Yeah? A man shall be a hiding place and a covert from the storm. In other words, just the one man is going to be a deliverer. And that's how Jesus came in. Jesus Christ fulfilled that. Moses was a type of Christ, the deliverer. Amen. And Christ, through Christ, deliverance is coming forth through you. See? Okay, so this here then is fulfilled there, and we see Moses saving Israel. But Israel is to save the world, because Israel is going to bring forth the deliverer, Jesus Christ, and Jesus is going to save the world. So you see how the whole thing, the three words are just in unison coming down. Now we come down to the third hour. I didn't have much to say about that ark, eh? See, I said so much about the other one. And this ark is called the Ark of the Covenant. It was just a box built of wood. Watch it now. Every ark is built of wood. This first ark, wood. That means flesh. Humanity. The second ark, trash. Wood again. Green vegetable. Humanity. The third ark, wood. But the seal that this ark has around it is what? Gold. It has wood inside. And it has gold inside. Gold, wood, gold. Inside and outside, gold and food inside of the gold. So what is that saying? That's saying that this ark, which is to come forth in the last days, the last ark to save humanity, is going to be the nature of God covering human flesh, inside and outside. Hallelujah. Now, the priest in Exodus 28, when the priest was brought forth to be consecrated, they said that they should take the anointing oil and make it into a little cake and give the priest to eat, so that he had the anointing inside of him as well as outside. They poured the oil on his head and it ran down. Now, what's that talking about? Come on, tell me. The Holy Ghost, Jesus said, he shall be with you and in you. Yes, sir. The 14th chapter of John, somewhere around verse 16, he said, he shall be with you and in you. Now, this is the anointing that is not only with a man to make him show God outside, but to make him have God inside of him. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so, this ark, therefore, is the great ark that's going to save the world. Now, let's examine the ark. First of all, on top of the ark, we have a thing called the mercy seat. The mercy seat, represented by two cherubims, angel wings, overshadowing the ark. Why are they doing that? Why are they overshadowing the ark? First of all, the angels are made of pure gold. Now, brother, the cherubims that Ezekiel saw, they had four wings. Remember? The other cherubims that John saw, they had six wings. But these cherubims have two wings. I want you to notice that. They don't have four wings, because the four-winged angel is a type of human soul with the four beast natures. And the six-winged angel, seraphims, are the type of the human soul being given the two wings of Jesus Christ so that he can lift to heights off the worldly plane. You get me? Now, these two are heavenly beings. This is the Holy Ghost overshadowing. Because when the priest offers a sacrifice, and it pleases God, a mysterious light begin to shine out from the midst here. And we call it the Shekinah glory. And the Shekinah glory is not a light that has any substance to it. It's a light that just appears in the mist. And just so got so bright that the priest has to cover his face. He can't look at it. So you can see what I'm trying to say here. Now, this overshadowing is of God. That's what I want to say. No human being must overshadow his, the pastor must not overshadow his church. He's not your protection. He's not your covering, as I heard some ministers preaching. The minister is not your covering. Amen. The Bible said the man is the covering for the woman, and God was talking a natural principle to show us a spiritual principle. The man, Christ Jesus, is the covering for his wife, the church. He covers her from the rigors and from the attacks of the devil. He covers her. He covers her nakedness. He covers her sinfulness. And he covers her with his blood. Jesus Christ is the head, and he's the husband of the church. He is the covering for the church. The minister is not the covering. Amen. Amen. Therefore, the anointing that we receive, the covering that we get, is to bring forth a seed within this church, to bring forth a new nature, the Christ nature, to be birthed in the ark. Amen. Now the ark has three symbols. The first symbol is a pot, a golden pot filled with manna. Never get stale, never rot, just manna that remains fresh all the while. You know what that's talking about? Food. Such spiritual energy, such spiritual food that humanity had never known before. God is bringing forth a golden pot inside this man-child church. You heard what I call it? God is bringing forth a golden pot in this ark with such food and such energy that the people of God will have the power to do the things that they need to do. Hallelujah. Then he says a rod. They're going to have a rod. The rod of Aaron that budded. And this rod bud, and not only bud, but it brought forth fruit one night. Bud and brought forth fruit one night. What's the meaning of that? The meaning of that is that God is going to give his people the power to rule and to bring forth life. Not just to rule people, to overcome them and put them on the foot, but to bring forth life in them. That's what the rulership will be for. Amen. To some it will be a rod of iron, but to others it will be a budding rod of life. Amen. The rod of Aaron become a rod of life. Now that coincides with the scripture which speaks of Abraham meeting this man, Melchizedek, priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's what you will be. Hallelujah. It's a position worth working for. It's something worth suffering for. Somebody said, oh, if we're going to all go to heaven, we might as well just take it easy. We are saved already. Amen. That's a no good Christian. That might well lose their salvation. Anybody you hear say that they're on the verge of losing their salvation? Praise God. Now, let's go it. The next one is the tables of stone. Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. Imagine the sons of God are going to have the Ten Commandments worked inside of them. Bless his holy name. Don't you understand that no law of God will pass away until it is fulfilled? Glory to God. How many of these commandments you have fulfilled in you already? Don't you see, through Jesus Christ, the commandment is fulfilled in you? Amen. If God said, thou shalt not kill, amen, you have it fulfilled in you through Jesus Christ, so you start loving your brother. You have, that is fulfilled in you. Therefore, you have that one commandment written up in you. It's done. Amen. And so all the commandments are being written on the fleshy tables of our hearts. Amen. Yes, sir. Jeremiah 33:35. That's what it said. It said, and after these days I'll plant my law in your heart and write them in your inward parts. Let's read that, because somebody don't really understand. And by the time we finish reading it, they're going to get the understanding. Jeremiah 31:33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Bless the Lord God. This here is identified by that scripture as God's people, Israel. All right, can you see that with me? That that scripture identifies the ark as you. Come on, brethren. Read it again. It says, I will write my law in their hearts, and the law was put in the ark. So you are the ark of God. Amen. It is a people who God is going to use to save his people. Bless God in the highest. Let me give you another scripture if you don't believe me. Turn to Romans 8. And Brother Paul will come to my rescue. Brother Paul will come to my rescue. Praise God. Romans 8 and from the verse 19, somebody read that for me, please.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Hold on. The creature, every creature, the dogs outside here, the cows in the pasture, every animal, every lion wild loose now in the wilderness is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know what you're going to do for him? When you come forth in the nature of God, you're going to stop death. No more lions will die, so they can't eat any more lamb. Animal nature will change. Every creature, every human being is waiting for one event. Hallelujah. The manifestation of the sons of God. Go on.
For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our
body. Of the body. Praise be to God. Can you see that the whole of God's creation is waiting upon one event, the sons of God coming forth in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, therefore, now that we are identified, we can go just one step further. Look with me at Revelation chapter 7. And there we will see the identification of these people. 7, verse 1, verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed. It was an angel, it said, one angel, the fifth angel, and yet he called himself we. What did he mean? He means that he's a many-membered angel. You know what the word angel means? Angelus, messenger. The many-membered messengers of God, hallelujah, are not descending from heaven, but they are rising up like the tar rises up from the bosom of the earth, and they have a seal in their hand, and they're going to seal the people of God in their mind. With the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Said the Lord, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. This is the getting into the ark. When the word of God gets into your mind and the Spirit of God is over your mind is over your emotions is over your will is over your desires, and your whole nature will be changed by the word of God being your boss. Praise the Lord. Now, next one, it says here, the earth, not even the destruction that we are talking about, that is to fall upon America and is to fall upon the world, this destruction cannot come until our job is complete. Do you doubt me? Turn your Bibles with me and check out that point. Every point I give, check it out in your script. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, we could read from verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now ye know what is withholding. Amen. Amen. You know? Do you know? Now ye know what is withholding. We just read it in the 7th chapter, but let's go on a little more. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. We understand that this verse is a difficult translation, and that it should be translated, he who now waiteth will arise out of the midst. Blessed be to God. You know why I believe that? Because that's the same thing that Noah's Ark tells me, that the pitch and tower was arising. The same thing happened here in Moses' Ark. The deliverer arose out of Israel. The same thing happened here with the gold. The gold came from the bosom of the earth. Amen. And the same thing happened in the 7th chapter of Revelation. We are told instead of the angel descending, the angel was ascending, coming up from the earth. It's human angels that God is anointing a people. Hallelujah. I don't believe in a preacher going around preaching that God is preparing one man to come and save the world. The Bible states that there will be a one man. But the thing that the Bible is talking about is a many-membered man. Mm. Hallelujah! Can I prove that point to you? You want me to prove that point? Okay, turn to Daniel. I just want an excuse, sister. To turn to Daniel chapter 7. And verse 28. Somebody read that for me as you get it. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 28. You didn't find it. Read it for me.
Here too is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my congregation,
yes,
much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart.
Will you forgive me and read 27?
And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him.
Him. How could the people of the saints of the Most High be him? Look at it again.
Now this is a small h.
Yes, that means it is the people of the saints of the Most High who God is calling him. You see, God is bringing us into oneness. Amen. And I won't make you turn to it because it will be too much turning. But if you should look at the 17th chapter of John, where Jesus Christ said, Lord God, make them one. Yeah. Even as the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is one person, let the people of the saints of the Most High God be one person. Spirit, soul, and body. One spirit, one soul, one body. Hallelujah. Well, I want you to turn your Bibles, just turn a few pages from Daniel, turn forward for me, until you hit Joel. Amen. Just turn a few pages forward, Hosea, and then Joel. And then Joel chapter 2, and in the last verse, we see there, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Amen. The remnant whom the Lord shall call, Mount Zion and Jerusalem, hallelujah, shall be delivered. Amen. If you want another scripture to back that up, and you keep going forward until you reach Malachi, just before you reach Matthew, don't go into Matthew now. You hit Malachi there. Amen. And, I didn't have that one marked. Praise God. The deliverance. Hallelujah. All right. I can't read that scripture because somehow I miss it here. But the scripture speaks of Zion. Out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer. And I am sure it is in Malachi. Out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer. Praise God. Well, we don't have much time, so let's keep on. Amen. Now, let us see what the seventh chapter of Revelation said about this. We have already identified these. Now, let's see what a name, let us connect them up with the final scriptures. Somebody have the seventh chapter before you there? Read and from the third verse. That's one. Romans 11:26. All right, find that for me in the meantime. We can go on with the seventh chapter here. Somebody want to read for me?
Saying, "Look not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nathan were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000.
Praise his holy name. We see here that 144,000 were sealed. And we found out that this is not a number of people, but it was a symbolic figure. In other words, it had a meaning. 144 in the Greek is the highest number of completion. Because it is the square of 12. And 12 is completion. So the highest number of completion is 144. 12. Now we find in the scriptures that they use three zeros many times in the symbolic language of scripture. Three zeros are used because zero means seed equal Christ. When God was promising the woman in the garden that her seed would bruise the head of the serpent, he used the word Zora in the Hebrew language. God speaks the word Zora, and he was the first person who called Jesus Zora. So all down the ages, the ancient people looked to this great seed, this God-man, they called him, that should come. And so Jesus was the Zora that came and bruised the head of the serpent. And in the languages, any language, even in English, you have good, better, best. The comparative and the superlative degree is the greatest. Great, greater, greatest. So when you put zero, 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 you are saying the fullness of zero, which is Christ. Now look at what you have there. You have completed our completion in the fullness of Christ. That's what that means. That number 144 means that these people who are God's 144,000, they will have that mark in their foreheads, their seal, the name, a new name. They will be the 144,000, and it will be the opposite of 666. You see? While the devil is, the people of the devil are going towards their 666, we are going towards our 144,000. And the seal they have in their forehead is the name of the beast. In their mind, they'll have the nature of an alien creature. They won't be human. They will kill and they will do all manner of things. They won't be human. They'll have the nature of an alien creature, and that nature is 666. The nature of the sons of God is 144,000. Amen. Now, I want to prove that from the scriptures. But before I prove that, I just told you. So this is what this means. The ark of the covenant mean God 144,000, and you are coming into your 144,000. That is, you are being sealed upon your forehead with the new name. Hallelujah. And this new name is the nature of God. Now, why is this word here, completion? How would you say you complete a house, Brother Jerry, if you didn't start it? You must start building it, then you say, I complete it. You see? Okay. And you don't complete a thing the day you start it. You start, sometimes buildings take a year to build. So Jesus started building this house. Father God started man. And in the garden, I can prove it to you that God never finished making you. You want to prove it? Okay. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. And somebody read verse 26 to me and tell me what God said he was going to make. Just tell me what God said he was going to make.
Man in his image.
No, you read it. I want you to read it. Read it. Read it, Fran.
And God said, let us make man in our image.
Yes.
After our likeness.
Yes.
And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea.
Yes.
Over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all that serve.
Yes.
And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Yeah. Praise God. Now God said he was going to make man in his image and in his likeness. And now you know who God is. And if God says he's going to do a thing, he's going to do it. There's only one thing about that. He didn't tell you when he was going to do it. Okay, Now read the 27th verse for me, and let us see what he did make.
So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Brother, what about the likeness? He said he was going to make man not only to look like him, which is the image, but he said he was going to make man to be like him, to be, which is his likeness. You have a child, and you said the child is a spitting image of his father or his mother. But the story is he like his father? Very often he looks like his father, but he's not like him. Very often he looks like his father has the nature of his mother. And this is the story. He looked like mother. You bet he's got the father's nature. And so God said he was going to make man to look like him and to have his image, which is looking like him, and to be like him, which is his likeness. But when he made him, he said he made him in his image, and he didn't touch the likeness. Why? Why? Yes, but that's the reason why he didn't make him like him. Because man had to, by his own free will choice, become a son of God through the love of God. Nothing else could make a son. God would never construct a son. That's why he never constructed perfect angels. He made angels so that they had a free will choice. They could choose him or the devil. And then when they made their choice, they made their eternal choice. And that's why heaven is perfect now. Because those who didn't want God left. You get the idea? Okay. And so he had to complete man. So he made one man like that. And then afterward, he made a perfect man, Jesus Christ, sent him down. And that Jesus Christ was going to complete man. And when we come forth in the nature and in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall have come forth in perfection. The sixth day God made man, in the 6,000 years, God's going to make us. Amen. Come on now. What day are we in now? Which of God's day are we in? The sixth day. The sixth day. This is the day in which the Lord God made man. And the first day man lived, it was God's rest day. The Sabbath day. And the first day we come alive, it will be in 2001. God's seventh day, or the Sabbath. Can you see how simple the Bible works out, like a mathematical problem that just works right? Amen. So, this here, 144,000, if you want the description of the 144,000, look in the 14th chapter of Revelation and verse 4. And tell anybody that your Bible tells you who they are. They are the first fruit company. They are virgins. They're, you know what I mean. Right along. So we're going to skip that. We won't read it because we want to run on and close. Time is done on me. All right. Here we are. You want to know. Somebody going to want to know about the mark of the beast and the mark of the Lord to prove to you that this mark is the nature of God in your mind. Now turn your Bibles to the 13th chapter of Revelation and look at the last two verses. The 13th chapter. And we look at the last two verses. Anybody find it first, read it.
So that no man might buy or sell, save he that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 600, 3, 4, and 7.
Okay. Now, we want to first of all see what this name is. He said, he gave us a clue here in verse 17. The clue is in verse 17. The clue says that the name is the mark and the number. So name, mark, number is the same. Can you see that in that verse? Okay. If name, mark, number is the same, we don't know the meaning of mark, we don't know the meaning of number, but we know the meaning of name. Name means nature, right through and through your Bible. So therefore it is the nature of the beast. And he said the nature of the beast is the nature of a man. Now, what is the meaning of that? God made man on the sixth day, right? Therefore, the number of man is six. Six is the next number to seven. Man's perfection is the next number to God's perfection. If you get perfect in the human realm, man can't go any further. Human, natural man can't go any further than human perfection. Then, if you go seven, you are in God's perfection. Right? So, okay. So there we see that the number of the man is the fullness of this man. If three zeros is the fullness of Christ, then good, better, best. This man will be the greatest. That's what it's saying. He will be the greatest. He will have more wisdom, more power, more understanding than any other man that ever walked the earth. He will be 666. Praise God. Okay, let's push on so that we can close. I'm going one step further with this message. And this step further is to tell you, how will the sons of God save the world? Amen. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. And then we close. Praise the Lord. Now, we see here, verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,200 and 70 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks, standing before the God of the whole earth. That is found in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 3. Amen. That these people are the two candlesticks standing before God. Amen. So we won't waste much time over that. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Praise God. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street, one street, of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them that saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. Praise God. Now, let me just tell you the story that we have read there. That's the symbolism we have read. Now I'm going to tell you the real story. Right now, tonight, as we are being prepared to be part of this army of God. And at the end, when our ministry shall be finished, after the 3.5 years of the reign of the beast, you notice what kind of ministry they'll have. They will stop the heavens that it rain not. They will speak the word of God, and fire will burn their enemies. And they'll have powerful ministry, just like the ministry that Moses had and the ministry that Elijah had, except it will be a whole company of people scattered all over the world. And then God will come and say to them, brethren, he will say, give your lives now. Now you have obtained immortality. But you must prove this immortality to the world. He said, let them kill you and then get up.
This is the end of message, M-066, Three Dimensions of the Ark.